This is sound reel number 3 of Wild Track 4, Last Stand Former.
I've got to been cleaning out my pens. That took me about 3.5 days. Hey, get off of them, get off of them. What the hell's trouble with you? Get around. Wait a minute. God damn you. You don't want to walk on him. You see him?
Yeah.
On this side of here. Get him. Take quite a calf.
Oh, it's terrific.
That is. That's a nice little calf. Game, my God, he walked all the way home.
Beautiful calf.
Yeah, that is. That's a, just what I wanted. I wanted to have a calf. Now, raise me another milk calf now.
So she'll be in milk in 2 years?
Yeah, if you have good luck. I want to see you. Yeah, you'll breed it so it'll come in about 2 years, when it's 2 years old. She's had 3 calves and she's only 5 now. And that's a calf last year, and the first one she lost. Come, his head was twisted.
So she'll nurse, won't she?
Yeah.
Right along?
No, I'll take him off. You got half to learn them to drink when they're about a couple of days old. If you don't, she'll have a hell of a time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll learn him to drink. Couple of days, fever's a bull calf. I might let him suck that long, but.
With a bottle?
No,
on the cow. From the pill?
Yeah. Lots of times you raise them right on the white pieces. I don't usually take a calf off them at all. But this year I'm going to take a calf off and then let him suck twice a day.
I never realized that he has the same face as she does.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, goddamn it, looks just like her, practically.
Yeah.
He's putting as big as she is now. And he won't be a year old till January. Boy, did I have one time cleaning them pens. Jesus, that's
you got them really done just in time.
Yeah, just in the nick of time. I got them cleaned out yesterday and got the petition in there.
That's right, that wasn't there.
Oh, of course, there's always plenty to do. Well, come on up. Always enough to do on the farm. She'd have stayed there.
That's my escape.
She'd taken a calf and got out of there if it had been a panther.
Because she would have heard it.
The smell of them.
Yeah.
They can smell them. We had one, there was one in here one summer, and they couldn't keep any cattle or horses in the pasture. They wouldn't stay over there. They come right to the gate, you know, they split the gate all to hell and come home. They wouldn't stay in that pasture. And I see it. It was a big black one. That was a regular panther.
Did you hunt it?
No, I let him right along. I had the gun right in my hand, didn't even take a shot at him. Them fellows you want to let alone, unless you're a good shot. And they had the young down in the swamp, and then after had the young, they got out of there. The deer come back in there, and then the cattle will go back in. But cattle and horses, they won't stay where there's a panther or a bear or anything. They can smell them.
Mm. I heard about panther. I thought someone was telling me a story. I didn't know there were any.
No, they've been through here.
Leonie Thorne once saw one.
Yeah.
They've seen them up Randolph way and around there.
I thought it was just from the Wild West and from Africa or something.
No. Yeah.
I don't know why not. The woods are good here. They're thick. There's a lot of small game.
They come through here. We had lynx here one fall. And they're kind of sassy devils who get them cornered. They come in, they're in a great way, it ain't more than probably 75 miles from here, the Canadian border. And they have quite a lot of that kind of stuff up around there. And then over this other way, in Randolph, they've had them here for 2-3 years. You hear about it. And northern New York, they got those cold dogs, the half dog and half wolf. They've been raising hell up in there. They attack the man.
Cold dog?
Yeah, cold dogs.
Never heard of
them. Yeah, see, they've got the smartness of a domestic dog, and they got the cunning of a wolf. They're hard things to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too long ago they attacked somebody's cattle, wasn't it? Chasing somebody's cattle?
Yeah, no.
I got to buy me a rifle.
You shoot at one of those nowadays?
Yeah, I would if I got in a pinch, or I had to. But it's a good idea to let them alone if you're not a good shot. Unless you have to shoot one of them.
Best way to do
is
get a good shotgun. Buckshot.
Then you gotta be
pretty
close.
Well, no. You ain't gotta be so close.
A couple 100 feet.
Well, I've seen deer killed with buckshot quite a lot further from here to King's Gate down here.
Really?
Yes. You hit him right in the head. And you know that buckshot will spread like that.
So you don't have to be such a good shot.
No, that's what I mean. That'd be the best thing, like Ken said about a rifle, but if he was going to get a gun, the best thing for him to get a shotgun was use buckshot. Because you ain't got to be so good. So accurate as you would with a rifle. Because them, from here across the road, them buckshot will spread like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard someone going shooting with one of the double aught buckshot, but I didn't think you're allowed to do that.
Oh,
you are?
Yeah.
I was borrowed.
Well, I don't know here in Vermont, but in New York State you can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about here in Vermont whether they're allowed to use buckshot or not.
I was bothered with weasels here. You know what a weasel is?
Yes, they know.
Yeah. And they was bothering the hens. This damn weasel was up on a bucket, and I was looking for him. Had a shotgun, and I pulled up. I wanted just shooting a shotgun, and I give him a fired once. A damn weasel, he disappeared, and I went down the sap bucket. Had about 90 holes in the son of a gun. I never even hit the weasel, but he didn't come back again. He got the hell out. Didn't bother anymore.
Pricking with one or two of them, or not enough to kill him. But
yeah.
So he got him the devil out of there.
I might have hit him, but I couldn't find him. But there was more holes in that bucket. It was a good green bucket, though.
The noise must scare him.
Yeah.
I used to throw firecrackers at squirrels.
Yeah.
You never see the squirrel again. There's a fellow named Paul from town, his family name is Paul, who claims he shot a buck right out on the road here. And I drove up and he was about to head up between Arthur and me to look for it. And he asked me if it was all right because I have all those signs up. And I told him I had the signs up because I didn't want anyone to shoot us. And I don't trust most hunters, but if he already shot it, and he didn't kill it, he should certainly go after it and finish it off. 7 or 8 point buck, he said. I've never even seen one of those. Right on the road, he said. It was standing on the road, and then he shot it in the shoulder, and it ran up the hill.
Well, you know, no business to shot above Arthur's anyway, because you're posted on one side, and the people that own James's are posted on the other side. You know business shot right down the road.
Well, hunters are going to shoot at 7
point buck
anyway.
Hunters are hunters.
I said, where was he standing? He said, right on the road. Just like your story about you get in the stream when you're fishing.
Short, thick set fella. Not too tall.
Yeah.
Harry Ball, probably.
Yeah. He had Vermont plates, and if he had shot him, I thought he should try to catch him and kill him.
They live over there, the other this side, the other side of Lyons Place, going from this way. First place on that road after you make your turn to go up the hill. Whole family of them in there. Got a half a dozen trailers in there, and a house, and dogs and cats and old automobiles, and it's the damnedest looking outfit you ever see. He doesn't live there, but his mother does. I guess he lives up Barry's or somewhere. There's four or five of them boys. Yeah, I suppose anybody, if they're hunting, if they see a deer on the road, they're going to take a shot at it.
Oh, yeah.
Probably I would. Well, we're supposed to have snow and rain tonight.
Snow?
Yeah.
And rain mixed with heavy snow tonight at 7. And then tomorrow it's supposed to warm up and just rain.
Well, the rain is good.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if there was no snow for another 10 weeks.
I hope we don't get no more snow.
We still need more water, because our well ain't filled up yet. So.
I wish it wouldn't snow till I got caught up, anyway, and I don't know when that'd be, long towards March, I guess. Yeah, I had quite a visit with Jim and the folks there the other day.
Yeah, they came up, they showed them the cabin, and they came across.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be very nice people.
Yeah, they're staying with them 5-6 days, I think.
Yeah.
They came from New York.
Yeah. The little girls got in, rode down with me in the truck, and all they was happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three girls, I think.
Yeah, I had two with him. Yeah. Two pretty little girls, nice little girls.
It's a lot of girls.
Yeah.
Suzanne told me to ask you to come Thursday instead of Wednesday.
Yeah, and it'd be all right if we come a little later, around 7 instead of 8.
Anytime you say.
Okay, around 7 then, because
I got
this cow to take care of now, and I have to milk her before I come. And around 7 be
seven,
okay.
Yeah, for supper, don't eat anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Suzanne ain't able to, we can come some other time.
Now, she'll be all right by then. I've been taking her. We made soup out of our turkey.
Yeah.
Took all the meat off it. Yeah. Carcass looks like some sort of beef critter. It's a big bird.
Yeah. Been eating turkey ever since, huh?
Yeah. I wouldn't get such a big one next time.
Yeah, she bought one. Thought our folks was coming up. Nobody showed up at all. She froze some of it up, and we've been eating turkey. And
yeah.
It was actually good. It was nice.
I went and took some out yesterday again, because I thought my sister would be up yesterday, so I'd get some out so she'd have some turkey. She didn't show up yesterday, so we had to eat turkey again yesterday. So.
I would just as soon have a good fat hen or a rooster as have a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more flavor to them. But most people wouldn't have a Thanksgiving if they didn't have turkey.
Yeah, the next day we went to our friends and had goose.
Yeah,
I never had goose before, and I didn't care for it.
Pretty greasy.
Greasy, and
yeah.
It was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're expensive.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot in the way they cook them. A lot of people, you know, you've probably heard of people eating coon.
Yeah.
You take coon, and a regular person cook it, it makes you sicker than a hog. But you take somebody that understands how to cook it, and it's nice meat you ever eat. They pour all the grease off of it, for one thing. And if you leave that damn fat and stuff on it, it makes you sick.
I think it's so you're supposed to parboil it, and then take that grease all off before you bake it.
Yeah, that's what Earl said.
Yeah.
Parboil it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had some meat with some Italian people one time. The fellow was working in the woods where I was and stormed. So I went to stop down there and he asked me to supper. He had everything, this big kettle, big dish right in the middle table, and everybody helped themselves. And what do you suppose that meat was? Skunk.
Skunk meat?
And boy, it was as good a meat as I ever eat.
Never heard of skunk.
Yeah. Have they got to understand how to cook it, take a scent and stuff away from it. God, that was good. I was telling the boys that I eat with the Italian people up there, and they said, yeah, you probably had pussycat. And I said, common house cat. And I said, no, I don't think they'd do that. So I asked him what kind of meat it was. He said it was skunk.
Mm-hmm. And it was all right.
I probably wouldn't eat it if I hungry.
He's not much on a skunk.
Not a lot.
Couple pounds.
He had 11 or 12 kids, and he cut wood to get a living from. I guess he had to pick up everything they gave back then. That was back in about 24 or 40.
Uh-huh. If that calf had been a bull, what would happen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could fat that and sell it where you wouldn't naturally fat a heifer.
So then it's for beef, if it's a bull?
Ordinarily, yeah.
Or for breeding, if it's a pure.
This is sound reel number 4, wild track for Last Stand Farmer.
And he never said a damn word to nobody, but somebody else for him. Damn Carol. They do show them now.
You got to show a certificate?
They tell them whether it's a beef scale or a milk scale.
Uh-huh.
For beef, of course, you don't worry much about what something like that. But if it's a milk scale and you got abortion, you might pepper your whole damn herd. Could, if you had 8-9 cows coming in, she had abortion and germs from her, you might take a whole bunch. Was a young fellow over at Stratford. He thought he was being foxy. And he bought through a government loan, a soldier, and he sold off a lot of his good cows and went over to commission sale and bought a bunch of scabs. And he got one, peppered his whole herd. And he had 15 or 20 aborted, lost their calves. Well, you can't feel too sorry for a man like that.
Mm. Earl sold us a couple of bales of hay, because we have a sheep now that we got from the Buttons.
Yeah.
A ewe. It's, I guess it's 15 months old, and Lyle's going to kill it. But we didn't have anything for it to eat.
Yeah.
So I went and I got some, and it pulls you all around. We just let it go in the garden, and we thought it would stay in because of the fence. But puts down her head and throws herself against the fence, knocks all the staples out, does it again, hits a fence post, knocks it over.
Yeah.
And the third time she was out and clear, and we grabbed her. Took two of us to hold her.
Yeah.
Powerful little animal.
Yeah, they are, damn.
I had to stake her instead.
Yeah, they ain't much stopping them after they once get started.
No, so we're feeding her grain and hay.
That's why I told you got to have a damn good fence to stop them.
A dog scared them, a whole herd could go through any fence.
No, they're after them. The dogs get after them.
But Suzanne is a little squeamish. She doesn't want to take it to get killed.
Yeah.
Because it has a name and all that. It's called Lucy.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's a Suffolk.
Yeah, you
white face.
You wind up keeping it this winter.
No, I think we're going to eat it. It's about 15 months. It's going to taste pretty good. If we let it go a year, it'll be mutton. It'll get tough.
Yeah, it ain't too good then.
But But I was thinking of you and the pigs. You know, you raise an animal, and then you got the day comes,
yeah,
and you got to die no matter what.
Yeah, that's the worst part of raising anything, is butchering them. But that's what they put on earth for, you know, for meat. You take over in India, they wouldn't kill a cow over there no more, nothing, they're sacred. Damn old cows probably worth a, wouldn't give a pint of milk a day. But that cow was sacred, they wouldn't kill that cow. And get poor and everything. Same as the Mexicans down on the Mexican border when they had the hoof and mouth disease down there. Of course, they even hid them cattle so that the authorities wouldn't find them.
Mm-hmm.
Old oxen, you know, their feet all rotted off. And God, they'd hide them in caves so people wouldn't find them. They probably figured if they killed them and buried them, that's what they have to do, or burn them. If they never get another bioxin, you see. So they used to hide them and everything else. And the Christ of the hell to try to stamp that out down on the border there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, showed a big trench where they drove the cattle right in there and shot them and buried them up with bulldozer.
Because they're all diseased.
Yeah, all diseased. That's about all you can do. You're going to die anyway.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't dig a trench around here deep enough with the rocks.
Yeah.
That's awful.
I've heard a few cases of hoof rot around here, but they got hold of it quick enough. You take acid, you can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But after it gets going, good shape, you can't stop it.
What did the pigs weigh out at? I wanted to ask you that.
Oh, they didn't weigh so heavy. I guess the old big one around 300. And one of the others, 160, and the other one, 140. About 40 to 50 pounds lighter than last year. I don't know what was trouble, unless the grain was so poor.
The expensive grain, it should have been 40 pounds extra.
Right? Yeah, I know. But the damn chaff's right in the provender.
How's that?
Chaffed right in the provender.
Uh-huh.
Pieces of hay, you know. Short pieces of hay. Provender is nowhere near as good. It still isn't. This year's provender. Nowhere near as good as common. But the price is good. Still $7.
Mm-hmm.
But pigs are worth more per pound than last year. I got 75 cents a pound. So that way I got just about as much money out of the pigs, but it cost me more to raise them. I didn't keep any books, but I figured I didn't even break even on a whole bunch of them.
That's rotten. That shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, you could use the figure. Buy two pigs in the spring, raise them up and sell one, you'd have the other one clear. And now you can't do it with three.
So you'd have to sell them at 85 or something to make a profit.
Yeah, and then people would think that you was out to gut them or something. But they'd go to the store and give $1.50 or $1.98 for a pound of pork chops. But if they had to pay it back to a man for selling them a pig, they'd think he was beating them.
So that's 75 cents, that's a whole half. So
yeah.
He gets pork chops,
yeah.
Whole pork, bacon.
And of course, he has quite a little waste to it. You take the head off and the feet and the bones is, and it makes meat pretty expensive, even at 75 cents a pound. Because most people don't do nothing with the head, and then the legs, you know. So it makes the meat pretty expensive.
Some people don't even try out the lard either.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't eat salt pork, and don't do nothing with the salt pork. Makes the rest of it pretty good and high.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, you can fry with the lard. The lard is, instead of buying butter.
Yeah, sure, you have to try it out, and then I use it to warm things up and bake with it. You can bake with it, too.
No.
To grease the pan, you mean?
No, like making pies for your pie crust.
Shortening.
Yeah. Fried donuts in it or anything.
You take them pigs overseas, the Italian people, for instance, and there wouldn't be nothing otherwise. Nothing, only just the bones. They even take the marrow, the inside of the bones, stuff out of the bones, needed. Then nothing goes to waste over there. They even cook the pig's ears.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Would Earl, I guess, got more than 75.
He got 70 for the old sow.
Well, she's not worth nearly as much.
No. But, you know, Earl, he gets pretty good prices.
I would think. If he had a spring pig, he'd get 90 cents, probably.
Probably would. He'd probably put the price up there and somebody'd come along and buy it. He's lucky that way. He got 90 cents a pound for that big beef that he had hung up that day.
Yeah, Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Called.
Yeah.
He got 780 pounds of meat out of him. Weighed 1,600 or something. He was a very, very big animal.
Yeah, I was a big animal. No, Earl's pretty lucky on the prices. He said he's gonna get $10 worth of his potatoes. He's gonna leave them down the cellar.
Yeah.
Hell, I can't ask anybody anything like that. I like a going price, but ain't no use. Just because somebody wants a bush of potatoes, no use asking them any such a price as that. But I bet seed potatoes would be $25 a hundred next spring.
Mm-hmm. The seed potatoes come out of this year's potato crop?
Yeah, come from Maine, most of them. Maine, northern New Hampshire. And I bet they'd be 25 cents a pound. That'd be $14, $15
a bushel. So what's the answer to get 5 spring pigs instead of 2? And I mean, is it next spring? Is that what you do to counteract the high price of grain?
God, I don't know. They got them up as high as $30 a while, you know.
For a little piglet.
Yeah, and they ain't worth it.
No.
The only way they'd be worth it is raise one for yourself. And not figure the price of it, and you'd have it come fall. You probably have as much in it as you could almost step out and buy it for. But you'd have it. You'd put a little bit into it on him, and you wouldn't notice it so bad. But there's no money in them. That's when you give $30 to start with. And the pig, you'll be awful lucky if a pig weighs 15 pounds. That's putting there $2 a pound for him when you start him.
I know, I don't understand that.
You can't make any money that way.
And Earl gets a litter of 10 and he gets $200 for the litter.
Yep.
Right off the bat.
Yep.
I guess breeding on this.
Yeah.
That's the only way there's money in it, to raise them.
But people are funny. Last spring when the syrup first came out, they was asking $15 a gallon. And some people bought syrup at $15 a gallon. If they get the price, they see something they want, they'll pay for it. It don't make any difference what the price is. Oh God, I ain't got that kind of heart to ask anybody that much.
I know, that's what sets you apart.
Yeah, that's what makes me a poor man, I guess.
Honest man. You want to go out and do Tom and Jerry? Before it gets dark, you got to go out and grain the horses?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is roll 5 of material for Richard Brick's Last Stand Farmer. This is all Wild Track.
What follows is Wild Sound of Kenneth O'Donnell. This is February. This is February 9th, 1974, Chelsea, Vermont, Richard Brick, Silo Cinema. This will be 7.5 IPS.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it's going to come up at town, it may come up at this town meeting to talk about that.
Yeah, same as Wheeler and the fellows from the REA come over here yesterday. And they want to know if I would let them set a pole. They said they understood that I owned the old barn cellar over there, and I said, I do. Nobody else got any deed on it. And, well, it would be so much easier for them if they didn't have to go so far. And I said, well, I'll go over there and see what you want. I went over and talked to them, told them, go ahead. Well, it made them all feel pretty good. If I wanted accommodation, I'd probably get it. Well, it ain't going to make a cent's worth of difference in my business. I sold the land to the fellas. Why shouldn't I help him out if he wants to? And even if I hadn't sold it to him, same as you, if you couldn't have gone down and hit the ox holes, you could have come up on mine and gone down and hit the line, then gone back up. Well, that wasn't going to hurt me any. There's going to be accommodation to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see anybody being that damn narrow. Even if it's somebody you don't even know, I can't see anybody being narrow and mean about anything like that.
No, that's the difference between you and James,
yeah.
Wanting $2,000 to connect.
Yeah. Well, I can't see that.
Anybody heard who did buy the land down here?
No.
Funny, nobody seems to know.
Oh. Now you take when, of course, I sold White, a place on the lower side where Yaxall, where Onoski now owns. I give Harry where Lane is, and then Harry's got it about a chunk off up on the hill where his log cabin now is. And then I sold this other chunk to Lad Lyon, and I sold Weymouth his. And when White wanted to get a line extended, most people wouldn't let him go the whole length of his field, you know, put poles in. One says, hell, go ahead. It's going to make them a lot better for them. I even cut the right of way for White. He paid me for cutting it. Well, let the line play through there, you know. Well, it's a lot better for all of them.
Well, you're a pretty good neighbor.
Well, I try to be halfway decent.
Well, you're more than halfway.
Yeah. I go halfway, but I won't go any further than that. I meet a man halfway any time. But same as James, won $2,000 for you to hook on. That is being damn greedy. That's being a hog.
Because
you weren't going to hurt nothing. There weren't going to be a pole set on his.
No wires, no cutting.
No cutting, no harm, nothing. He just didn't want you down on it. When we put the telephone up through there, he'd let the telephone people go on there if they pulled the line down through by hand. He wouldn't let no trucks or nothing go in there. But the REA's got a right to come up through there.
No, I know.
They got a right of way up through there. They got a right to go down there with trucks, set a pole, or fix the wires, didn't they? I know that because when old Jordan owned that, Jordan's aunt, they got, they put their line right through, Merle's, right straight through and up the line. And they didn't get no permission from Jordan or his aunt, either one. They didn't get no papers. When he got back, he was going to make them pay the price of the property or else move their poles off in there. And they couldn't go nearer the road, because he owned within 25 feet of the center of the road. There's no place to put the poles through there. They couldn't go on the lower side of the road because he owned that whole thing. When he had them all stopped. And Harry bought the hill up where you live. And the fellow by the name of Thompson bought the lower side. And the REA helped them out a little bit to get the right of way across there. And with the understanding they put lights up here. Well, it helped everybody by doing it. And they didn't have to move. So they got a right of way to come right up that line if they want to.
Mm-hmm. I guess Lad Lyon down here got a much better price than he paid for.
Oh, I guess he about doubled. I ain't heard, but I think he's about doubled.
What you sold him in a year?
Yeah. I think he about doubled the price.
Well, that man that came up here to look at it, that young fellow over the road, he said, what do you want, $6,500?
Yeah, he a little more than doubled this. But you see, he's got to pay a pretty good tax on this transfer tax now. You understand? I don't know if you understand it any more than I do, but they got it up where it's pretty well now. And see, he hasn't had it only about a year. And the difference between the price that he paid for it and the price he get, he's got to pay a sizable sum, as I understand it. That's some of your governor's work.
Yeah, that's capital gains.
Yeah, capital gains tax. And I guess
he'll have to pay so much to Brian Button because he gets the real
estate. Yeah, of course he has to pay his broker.
Probably that's why he was asking so much.
See, he won't have too much left when he gets done after he pays the broker and pays the land tax, the transfer tax. And that's probably why he gets such a price on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you take a man, if he gives $1,000 an acre now, and he buys, say, 5 acres, $5,000, and then goes to work and puts up a new home, gets his water, gets his lights in, how much money has he got in it? He's got, if he's a poor man, he's got to hire the money. He's got his work for 20 years to get that paid for.
Yeah.
Down Springfield, that loan on land and stuff there. They figure 20 years on an ordinary place.
Mm-hmm.
That was a farm concern to begin with. What the hell did they call that? Federal loan or something like that, federal farm loan. And they figured on the average farm that a farmer would a mortgage for 20 years. That's mm-hmm. the way they let it out, 20-year mortgage. And that would be about the same.
No.
I don't think there's anything on it. It's just a political gain to get more money, that's all. They don't care who they hurt. The same as the strike down there, the truck strike. More people going to get hurt than what they're going to gain.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Yeah, they say the shelves are going to start getting empty down in the store.
Yeah. They add on the ones that got gas and oil and that stuff, they add a little bit higher, and the people, the truckers, they've got to get more money. And that all comes out of the working man. The man that has to buy groceries and live.
Mm-hmm.
And the family. And every time that they have a raise in salary, it don't amount to nothing because it brings your groceries just that much higher. And you take a man that's not getting that big money, he's hurting just that much more. Now, Jet, I got to find out how much they put the... I might get a little something on the house and 2 acres of land, but you can't get anything on the other land.
No, it might be $50, $60 on
just
2 acres.
Yeah, you might be able to get that. Now the town of Randolph, and I suppose a lot of other towns, they're beginning to bitch and holler now because they ain't going to get any state money for the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got nobody to blame on themselves. They raised the valuation on land so high, and they're getting so much tax that they're not eligible to get any money from the state. Mm-hmm. There's nobody to blame on themselves. This town just the same. And absolutely nobody to blame. They blame the state for raising the valuation. I don't believe it's all the state.
I saw the town report for Chelsea.
Oh, they got them out so quick?
Well, I saw one at Clarence Kennedy's. He, someone told me he's a Kennedy, so he gets his first.
Yeah.
But I think they're mailing them Monday. It's yellow. I just looked through a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Last year you had to go to town clerk's office to pick them up.
Really?
Yeah, they had a sign out the town reports are here, and you go in and they get your name on them and he'll give them to you.
They can tax everybody to the limit, but they ain't got it. They ain't got 8 cents to send him a town report.
No. They had them piled up and Jim Kennedy would give it to you, and they had them piled up on the floor.
The same as they got a man in this town. I don't know just what he's paying, but he's probably paying as big a tax as any man in town for what he's got. He's got a large acreage in his summer. And this town couldn't furnish 8 cents in a town report to send to that man. He had to have a neighbor up here to get him a town report so he'd know what the town's business was. They couldn't even send him a town report, and he's probably one of the biggest taxpayers. Nice burger up here.
Yeah, I figure.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I mean, it's that's just why you want to look in that report, yeah. See where all that money goes.
Sure.
It's hard to believe even when you read it, but you want to read it.
It's funny, they couldn't send that man a town report, or wherever he is, Washington,
D.C. When we were out in California, I had to write a special letter to get one.
Yeah.
Because it didn't come along normally.
No. I don't know. The taxes that they're getting, everything. Why they couldn't send every taxpayer a town report, regardless where he was. They'd take his money, all right. They'd take it, they could bleed him right down to the last penny. But they can't do anything to help anybody else. And they're going to squawk this town meeting, you notice. They're going to squawk about more tax, raise more tax for the schools. You wait and see what I tell you. Oh, and they're going to have a big song and dance. They've had to pay up so much more for oil and stuff like that to run their rigs and electricity and all that. But they're going to have a big song and dance down there. And they're going to take every dollar that they can get. They're going to bleed everybody.
Will the people have to vote on it? I mean, the selectmen, I've never been to one. The selectmen say, this is what we need, and then you vote?
Yeah, they usually put it up in town meeting, and they take a vote on it. But if you say anything about cutting the schools, I want to be careful they don't try to run you out of there. Because you can't nobody say anything. Oh, them kids, they've got to have the best education possible. And they ain't getting the education today they got 40 years ago. You get kids that's in there and somebody else makes them a good job when they graduate from this school, all right. But if they can't get that good job, they can't do nothing because they ain't educated for only just one thing. Somebody else make them a job. But you can't say anything against the kids and the education. If you do, they'd laugh you out of the town. I'll drive you out. And the teachers, they've all got to have higher wages, and they got to have a high cost of living added on to that. And that's where most of your tax money goes, right there.
Yeah, I saw that in last year's town report.
Of course, we want the kids to have a good education, but why go overboard on it? Why sell everybody out and drive everybody out for just schools? Sooner or later, they've got to cut them after they drive all the taxpayers out. They've got to cut that school business.
Well, know, no one's looking to the future.
Yeah, but you can't tell them that. See, we had, I think his name was O'Brien in Montpelier. He said he went to a one-room schoolhouse, and his father went down to the city and took him to the city. And when he got down to city school, he was way ahead of anybody in his grade. And he got his education in one school, one-room schoolhouse. He was head of the city school. Well, that fella, he didn't get votes enough. It'd have been better if he hadn't even run. And the only reason that he didn't get them votes, because he said something about the kids and the education end of it here. That's just the only reason in the world why he didn't get voted in. You can't say anything about the kids and education.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Suzanne on the checklist. I don't think she's on the checklist.
Yeah.
Because I want her to be able to vote. So they're having a meeting. I don't know what, you have to have lived here 6 months and you have to pay your poll tax, I guess.
I think so. I think that's right. She's paid the poll tax here?
I'm not sure if she has.
You have, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, you're eligible then. You got your name on the checklist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I intend to vote. I can't. I hope there's something real to vote about.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'll matter too much, but it'll probably make you feel better.
You
ever taken 3 months old?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all set then.
Yeah, I took
that. Well, maybe you better ask somebody else about that. I think that you have to pay. I don't know if you do. I don't know if you have to be in town more than 6 months and not pay a poll tax for what you're eligible.
Yeah, she's going to ask George Lifer.
Yeah.
He's the nicest of the three of them.
You gonna ask who?
George Lifer?
Yeah, George is a good fellow. Yeah, George will answer and give her, he'll tell her the best he knows.
I don't know what they do down this town, but I know in a lot of towns, they have a board of civil authority meeting before town meeting.
They're having it this week?
Yeah, and that's when they, you know, decide people's name, if it ain't on the checklist, they're supposed to put it on after that, if you notify them, but I didn't know about down this town. But
there's a sign up announcing the Board of Civil Authority meeting.
Huh? Well, for instance, you take George, he was born further enough back, and the way he was brought up, he knows what times used to be and what hard times are. But the other two slick men you got was born right in good times. They're young lads. They don't, a dollar don't mean so much to them. They've always born right in good times, got good money. And you can see the difference in the way they look at things. But George, he used to work out doing chores up to Glen Buttons when he was a kid and went to school. Had to make his own way from a kid up. He knows what hard times are and what a dollar is. But these younger people, they don't. You can't blame them for that. They were born right in the good times. They don't think so much about it. But an older man that hasn't got the income, he can feel it. He can feel it plenty. But they don't give a damn. Get 3 years behind with your taxes and see how damn quick it's set out. It wouldn't make any difference. Your name was Brick or who in hell.